Okay, well, Memorial Day tomorrow, for I think as many years as we have been here, we've taken the time on Sunday before Memorial Day to really consider, and I've shared with you in the past, it was a reading of a book by the name of The Greatest Generation by Tom Brokaw that really, I would say, instructed me, informed me, helped me to understand the sacrifice that so many gave. This was specifically regarding what's called the Greatest Generation, the World War II generation. Many in our own congregation here who are part of that, many of our parents, are a part of that great generation who really secured freedom in the face of pure madness. And there was an incredible amount of sacrifice. And so it just really was on my heart to take stock personally, because I've shared with you, I try to be honest about the journey, the struggle, this thing of a life with God, that to be real honest, I did not give much attention to Memorial Day. It was just another three-day weekend, you know, barbecue, cookout, go to the beach, and that was it for me, sadly. So it was a wake-up call, and it has stayed with me. And so each this Sunday before Memorial Day, for a lot of years now, we've kind of just focused our attention on the sacrifice that so many have given. So we're going to talk about that today. This wreath here will be taken tomorrow to the Indiantown Veterans Association, that Memorial Day remembrance, and will be placed there. And so let's talk about it. Let's bow our heads, let's pray, and let's give thanks for many things, for the freedoms that we enjoy, the way of life that we have, and the people, men and women, who gave of their all to make that happen. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this great privilege of living in this nation at this time. And Lord, we are grateful and thankful for many, many lives that have been laid down so that we could live the way that we live. Lord, we recognize this is not a perfect nation. There never has been one and never will be a perfect country, because it's filled with imperfect inhabitants, and we realize that. But Lord, we are grateful for what we do have. Help us to take stock of it and to be grateful, truly grateful. And Lord, we pray for those families that even while we're here are grieving the loss of loved ones as a result of armed conflict. Please be with them. Be with those who have loved ones in harm's way today. We think of our brother Brandon and ask you to watch over him and protect him. So, Lord, please help us as we turn our attention to remembrance and to this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Memorial Day is set aside to remember those who have given their lives for our freedoms, for our security, and our way of life. And we are privileged to live as we do. You and I would not be living the life that we now live if someone, many someones, had not paid the price, the ultimate price. At this time of year, around Memorial Day, it's often kind of run together, in many's thinking, with another day that we recognize, Veterans Day, which is celebrated and recognized in November, the month of November. Veterans Day, even yesterday, there was a military honors for George Gideon, and 10 guys piled out of a vehicle yesterday. I was wondering when they were going to stop. They just kept piling out. And they presented a 21-gun salute. Is that what it's called? I'm not a military guy. But they showed up. A bagpiper played, and they presented a flag to George's son and daughter. And they did it voluntarily. These were from, I think, the Hobe Sound group down there. And they came out on their own time and honored a veteran. You know, I looked up some things about veterans. I think it's important for us to know. Do you know that there are approximately 21 million military veterans in this country? And 16 million out of that 20 million served during at least one war. Do you know that 2 million veterans out of that 21 million are women who've served our country? 7 million plus have served in the Gulf War. The Gulf War would include what's called the War on Terror. That has begun in 1990. Over 7 million men and women have served in our nation's armed services during this time. 7 million veterans served during the Vietnam War era, many who are in our congregation today. 2 million veterans served during the Korean War. 16 million veterans, 16 million Americans served during World War II. And it is said that about 710,000 are still remaining. And those numbers are declining every day. Some of our folks have gone on the honor flight where they, in a day's time, Dick, I think you just went a couple weeks ago. A flight is provided to Washington, D.C., and our veterans are honored. Do you know how many lives were lost, how many service personnel were lost during World War II? It is said over 470,000 Americans, almost 500,000. In our nation's history, over 1 million Americans have died in wars, fighting for the freedoms and the way of life that we enjoy. Now, get your mind around that number. The first time I read about that, I was shocked. Over 1 million men and women have died trying to preserve the freedoms and the security that you and I often take for granted. In the year 2000, Congress passed a resolution. It's called the National Moment of Remembrance. And it simply asks each one of us to stop at 3 p.m. local time to voluntarily and informally observe in their own way a moment of remembrance and respect, pausing from whatever they are doing for a moment of silence or listening to taps. This resolution was passed to remind us, Americans, of the real purpose of Memorial Day, and to thank veterans for their service to our country. Every year on this Sunday, I read a verse. It's what Jesus said. I'm going to read it for you if you guys are able to pull it up. Jesus was talking and he said this: "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." And that is truly the sacrifice that has been made, that people have gone out and given their lives in order to protect and to serve and to secure the freedoms that our nation has enjoyed. Memorial Day is the most solemn of our nation's 11 holidays. The first Memorial Day was observed May 30th, 1868, when flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. And that was the Civil War. Do you know how many people died in conflict during the Civil War? 498,000 plus, almost 500,000 lives were lost. And it touched just about every family in the nation in some way. And so they felt a necessity to remember. And it was known then as Decoration Day. After World War I, a day was set aside to honor those who had died in all American wars. And I want to read here some thoughts regarding war, because we're faced with it. In the midst of the Civil War, General Robert E. Lee wrote a letter to his wife on Christmas Day in 1862. And here's what he said: "What a cruel thing is war, to separate and destroy families and friends and mar the purest joys and happiness that God has granted us in this world, to fill our hearts with hatred instead of love for our neighbors." And you understand, the Civil War tore families completely apart and communities. And he went on to write, "and to devastate the fair face of this beautiful world." He went on to write this as well: "It is well that war is so terrible, or we should grow too fond of it." Way, way back in history, there was a theologian by the name of St. Augustine, or St. Augustine, and he said this: "War and conquest are a sad necessity in the eyes of men of principle, yet it would still be more unfortunate if wrongdoers should dominate just men. And history has shown that when people declare they will not fight to defend themselves or to protect their rights, they will surely be overrun and subjugated by people who have no such qualms." And so there is what's called the doctrine of just war. And there's been a lot of debate in our nation's history about some of the conflicts we've engaged in. Some have called them military adventurism. This is not what we talk about today. We certainly understand when we were attacked at the beginning of World War II, before World War II, on our own soil in Hawaii, we understood we need to defend ourselves. And had the United States not come to the aid of nations around the world, our history would look very different, and we need to understand that. But here's the danger, and we point to this each and every year. We have enjoyed peace and security to such a degree that, sad to say, we are oblivious to the terror and the turmoil that most people in the world face on a daily basis. You and I do not live under the threat of being overrun at any point, and we can grow so accustomed to that that we have no clue what other people face. And I'm going to just throw out a couple things. You can look it up on Wikipedia. I had to update some of the numbers that I've gotten. Do you know that there are over 60 active military conflicts in the world right now? And they gradate them by how many lives are lost. And so they call major armed conflict and minor armed conflict by the thousands of lives that are lost in a year's time. In this world, there are over 60 armed conflicts right now. 10 of those are major armed conflicts. What's going on in Nicaragua, where Glenn and Lynn have just returned from? We had a young lady who sat with us last Sunday who just left Venezuela. And countries are in absolute turmoil. I want to ask you to picture what it would be like for you today, having gotten word that your country was in turmoil and you had to run to your house as fast as you could, grab up what you could grab up, and go to someplace safe. That is everyday living. Listen to this number: 65.6 million people today are displaced because of conflict where they live. That's about 20 people every minute who are forced to leave their home and to seek protection. President Reagan, many years ago, said this, and I wrote it down. He said, "I don't have to tell you how fragile this precious gift of freedom is. Every time we hear, watch, or read the news, we are reminded that liberty is a rare commodity in this world." I've lived outside of this country. I've been in other nations down in Central America, and I've seen people lined up blocks and blocks and blocks long at the U.S. Embassy for a chance to come and live here. I'm amazed, and it's a hot topic in our nation, and we've got to do some serious and some clear thinking on immigration. But what would cause a mom or a dad to pack their children up, to send them with people they didn't really know on a treacherous journey to get to the United States? It's not just so they can all get a job making more money. It is so chaotic and so broken in many of the nations where they come from that this is their only hope. And so our nation's got to do some thinking about that, and I know all of us have got ideas on it and what should be done. What I am pointing out today is, and I want us to kind of step back and think how blessed we are to live and have the security that we have. Do you believe that? Are you grateful for that today? President Dwight Eisenhower said this: a people that values its privileges above its principles will soon lose both. The danger is that we can become so casual about our freedoms that we fail to appreciate what it took to gain them. And this, I think, is the one that really speaks to us, and what it cost to maintain them. What it cost to keep those freedoms available for those who follow behind us. You know, you've heard the saying at this time of year, freedom is not free. Somebody somewhere paid the price for it. What we have to do is to think and not allow ourselves just to be swept up into slogans and sayings, but to get down to the root of the matter and find out what really happened. What did it cost for me to live the kind of life that I am able to live today? And so each year on this Sunday, we take time to remember and to reflect. And I like that word, to reflect. To reflect means to think carefully about what is before us, to consider the multitude of sacrifices made on our behalf. And that kind of thinking should provoke a response. And that response should be profound gratitude, wouldn't you say? To think about the lives that have been laid down for our freedoms. To truly be thankful, to be grateful. So, just two thoughts today in this message. What should I do this Memorial Day? What should I do tomorrow when you're with your families and friends and gathered to have a great time and you've got the freedom to go where you want to go? I don't need to remind you, there are countries in this world where people have to get a written permission to go to another town or another community. Imagine that, what it would be like to live under that kind of domination. And so the very principles that were established in this nation that people have given their lives for us to be free. What can we do this Memorial Day? Well, first of all, is to appreciate the sacrifices made for our freedoms and way of life. I found this poem a number of years ago, and I want to read it for you again. I've read it before. Our God and soldiers we alike adore when we're at the brink of danger, but not before. After deliverance, both alike requited. Our God is forgotten and our soldiers slighted. And I want you to remember that when it comes time to vote. When folks who step up to say, we're going to try to make sure we take care of our veterans, we're not going to leave them behind. You know, this is something I think we face as people. When our back's against the wall and the heat's on and we cry out to God, we are all about God. Amen. I've seen it in my own life. I've been around to see it in your lives as well. The problem is then when the heat's off, it's as if we've forgotten God. And there's what they're saying in this poem, that there is a similar thing when it comes to our soldiers. When there is a threat, we're all about. Let's make sure our soldiers are taken care of. But when the threat's off, we go on our way and forget about those who have paid the price. So keep that in mind. Interesting, I just read this week about one of our representatives who has set up right here in West Palm Beach. It was in the national news. He's in the Congress. He's a representative here from Florida. And he set up an office in the VA hospital down in West Palm there, just in Riviera Beach. And he's encouraging other representatives to, if there's a VA facility, to get in there and meet up with the folks who are coming in, make sure that they're not forgotten. And that's the danger. So what is needed then is a deep appreciation of the sacrifices made. And remembrance is the surest path to gratitude. You know, in my life, when I stop long enough to think and remember what someone has done for me, what God has done in my life, what our service men and women have done to provide the security that we enjoy, when we think, it can cause us to be grateful, to truly be grateful. And let us not be guilty of ingratitude in this matter, of just callous ingratitude. I got my thing going on, no thought about the price that was paid. So that's the first thing, is what should I do this Memorial Day? First of all, to be truly grateful for the sacrifices made. Secondly, and that is this, to willingly and gladly bear the responsibilities of freedom. Freedom is like a coin, somebody has said. It has the word privilege on one side, and what do you think it says on the other side? You think it says privilege on the other side as well? It says responsibility. Privilege and responsibility. If we consider only, hey, what am I getting? What am I getting? And we do not take on the fact that responsibility to deliver freedom to the next generation is a part of our task as well. Someone has said this, any nation that thinks more of its ease and comfort than its freedom will soon lose its freedom. And the ironical thing is, it will lose its ease and comfort as well. If all we are about is ease and comfort and we do not pay attention to the price of freedom, we can lose our comfort and our ease as well. I found this poem as well. I want to read it for you. And it speaks to responsibility and considering what do I do? What should I do to make sure that those who follow behind me enjoy the same freedoms that I have? You may have heard this before. It's called Building the Bridge for Him. An old man traveling a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream held no fears for him. But he stopped when he reached the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with this ending day, and you never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you a bridge at eventide? The builder raised his old gray head. Good friend, on the path I have come, he said, there followed after me today a youth whose feet will pass this way. This chasm, which has been as naught to me, to that fair-haired child a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. And so it speaks, friends, to the fact that we have enjoyed freedom and security and a way of life that we're blessed. We got to ask ourselves a question. What am I going to do for the generation who follows behind? Is it all about privilege, what I'm getting? Or am I going to step up and build a bridge for those who follow? And today we have focused on our service, men and women, those who gave their lives. But for Christians, for followers of Jesus Christ, every Sunday is a Memorial Day. You know that. Every time we gather, It's an opportunity to remember Jesus, who sacrificed his life to give us eternal life. It was Jesus who said, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. The Apostle Paul would later write and say, I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. And Jesus gave his life to provide for us freedom, freedom from sin, freedom from guilt, peace, peace with God, potential peace with one another, and security. And what is needed for the Christian as well is a deep appreciation of the sacrifices made on our behalf of our Savior. Remembrance is the surest path to gratitude. And I've just got a couple questions for each of us today. I want to challenge our church and cause us to not just go through the motions tomorrow and each day following. And I want to challenge our church not just to go through the motions on Sunday, but when we show up is to truly be grateful for what's been done on our behalf. So I got a couple questions. The first one is this: are you grateful? Are you grateful? Or have you lost sight of what has been done for you? I'm telling you, it's easy. I grew up in the United States of America. I sat in history classes, civics classes, and yet I did not have a concept of the loss of the sacrifice that was delivered so I could have the life that I was living. And frankly, I was taking it pretty lightly, in all honesty. But I want to ask you, are you grateful? Are you mindful of the sacrifice of so many people? I will tell you, when I read that book, the tears flowed. I wept as I read actual stories of young men who never made it back home, who had loved ones back at home, some who were engaged to be married. And I read some of the letters that they wrote before their lives were taken. And I thought, those are people too. And it made the sacrifice real, at least in my thinking. So I ask you, are you grateful? And here's the next question. Does God know you're grateful? Have you told him lately? And I say this for us in relation, those who are followers of Christ, you'd say, I am grateful for the sacrifice Jesus made for my sins and what he's delivered for me. Heaven, eternity on the other side of this life, whatever it looks like, I'm with God. And the struggles of this life are past. Are you grateful? Have you told him lately? Does he know you're grateful? You know what it's like? We get so busy. We got stuff to do. We got places to go. And sometimes we just run and fail to express our gratitude. Here's the last question. It's where it gets down to some traction, where they say where the rubber meets the road. What does it look like? What should gratitude look like? As a nation, gratitude towards our service personnel, men and women who've been injured, should certainly look like a VA that tries to meet their needs. Would you agree with that? That's what gratitude should look like. I'll tell you what I have been thrilled to see, and I don't know how many years it's been going on, but the honor flight, which we mentioned earlier, where men and women who have served board an airplane. They've got someone who goes along with them, and if they're in a wheelchair, they push them. They make sure they got everything they need, and it's a whirlwind. Dick said, I'm still recovering. But I'm glad that our nation has said, we need to let these folks know that we are grateful for their sacrifice and for their service. And you know what I've been heartened as well to see in the past several years is that people actually say to servicemen and women, thank you. Thank you for your service to our country. We are grateful for what you have done and what you do. But what does it look like for us who follow Jesus? We talk today about every Sunday as a memorial day to remember his sacrifice on our behalf. What should that gratitude look like? I found a verse, and this is in the same Gospel of John, John 14, verse 15. It's a very simple, short statement that Jesus said. He told his followers, he said, if you love me, obey my commandments, do what I say. You know what gratitude looks like? Gratitude. Look, we're not talking about earning our salvation. If you show up here for just 1 week, you'll know that nobody's here saying you're trying to, we earn our way to heaven. It's all the mercy of God, the grace of God. It's receiving what we don't deserve, God's mercy, God's forgiveness. And we roll around in that, don't we? We're glad for that. But you know what? Jesus said this, we should remember, we should be grateful, and we should love him and respond. And what does that response look like? It should look like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Help me to do it. That's what it should look like for believers. And so today, as we set our sights on this remembrance of our service men and women who gave their all, gave their lives. And tomorrow as people gather, and I hope that at some point tomorrow, each and every one of us will stop what we're doing for a moment and say, I am grateful. I am truly grateful for what I've been blessed with, for the life that I've been able to live. And if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, what that gratitude should look like obedience. And Lord, what do you want me to do with this life that I've been given? I want to honor you. I want to do your will. And I want to follow your way. Let's all stand. We're going to close today's service at a time of invitation. As we take some time to consider our own lives, the most important thing that I can put out there to you today is, do you know Jesus as your Savior? God loves you. The Bible lets us know clearly that God is love. He loves his creation. We believe that the love that we comprehend in our lives, its source is God. We couldn't come up with something like that. We just couldn't do it. It comes from God, and he's the source of it. And so today, if you're here, you have some question, you know, sometimes I'll tell you what happens is guilt from our own sin and rebellion clouds this view. God couldn't possibly love me. I've just done too much wrong. Understand, God's love goes far beyond that, and he has made a way for us to be forgiven, no matter where you've been, no matter what you or I have done. That's good news, isn't it? And so today, I just would say this, if you have any, no matter how long you've been coming here, you could be a lifetime member, but if you're uncertain about that, that's the most important thing you and I need to get a hold of. Respond to that love God has for you. And then this question, do I truly recognize the sacrifice that's been laid out for me? And am I grateful? And what should that gratitude look like in my life? That's something to think about. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time today. And Lord, as we are gathered, we consider sacrifice of life, of time, of effort, of our Savior on our behalf. And Lord, help us in our hearts to truly be grateful. And Lord, help that gratitude translate into some action. in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be bridge builders for those who follow behind us, and recognize that these great privileges that we have also come with some great responsibilities as well. Help us, Lord, to take that on. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.